This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Brian Bates
and Billy Chope.
And I'm Vicky Marie Buchanan. Welcome back, Billy. We're enjoying listening to your lovely life story and your experiences in teaching. And we picked up, I think, from last week and where we are this week, that you are working at Awapuni School.
Right.
So tell us more from your experiences there.
I want to tell you about how children from difficult homes are often very physical. Mm. And you need to accommodate that. Mm. And I want to tell you about two things that I did at Awapuni School that I am very proud of. The first one was called the Basketball Cape League. And the boys were very good at basketball, so I ran a competition at lunchtime. At the end of winter, and I picked the four best boys at basketball and made them captain, and then they all had turns of picking their team. So I had four teams, and we played a match every lunch hour for 4 weeks till we found a winner. Mm. Now what happened with that was that all the school got involved, and at lunchtime we had all the school watching these matches because they were so exciting. Mm-hmm. And kids cheering for their teams.
Yes.
And these boys improved their skills, and they were fantastic. Mm. I was blown away by their skill. Mm. And all they got at the finish was a sponge cake. But that didn't matter.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Then, from the running I used to do with them in the morning, the Palmerston North Schools had an inter-school cross-country races. And so we trained these boys up. And one year I had a boy who was an outstanding rugby player, and he went in the cross, won the Awapuni School cross-country, and we went to the inter-school, which was held at College Street Normal, and they went out on the streets and they came into the school and ran once around the paddock to the finish. So we all watched, standing there watching, waiting for the first guy to come in, and the first guy to come in was this Awapuni boy. He ran around the field, which was about 400 metres, finished, and guess what?
He ran around again.
There was no one else.
Yep.
Arrived.
Yep.
He was so far in front.
Wow, mm. Good on him.
Yeah. So he was out of Awapuni School, he was outstanding because he went on and played rugby for New Zealand.
Wow.
He was that good.
Gosh.
Yeah. It wasn't the All Blacks, mm. It was the seven-a-side team.
Mm. Mm.
But there was talent there.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, talent there. Okay, so after 5.5 years, I left Awapuni because I was exhausted. Mm. It was hard work, mm. for physical and mm. mentally. Mm. But I was so glad that I had the experience because I realised that Maori children had wonderful physical ability and they were wonderful artists.
Mm.
And if you could harness that, mm. then they would do their schoolwork.
Mm.
And some of them were as bright as bright. But mm. their home life sort of... they weren't encouraged to study.
And, yes.
And
yeah.
This is one of the unfortunate things that I've learned, is that their parents didn't have a very good time at school, so they had no interest in their kids. And that's a tragedy, really. But thankfully, it's changing a little bit. Riverdale.
I was just going to ask, reading and writing, there's a big big concern, isn't it, about our students with their reading and writing. Did it influence their own reading or their interest in reading and writing as well, or maths?
No, I don't think so. I think what you're talking about is modern, what's happened in our modern times in the 21st century. Why has it gone backwards? Yeah, well, I think that's a different story.
Yeah, that's another. We'll deal with that later.
Yeah. Okay, Riverdale was a different socio-economic school, although the schools were side neighbours, as it were. And I had a lovely time there because it was so different. It wasn't so stressful. The kids were very talented at everything they did. For instance, when computers first came in, I had kids in my class who were better at it than I was, so they became the teachers of the other kids. You could use those kids and I was responsible for a fundraising effort at the school that was magic. Have you ever heard of the Tartan Clansman?
No.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
You know the Tartan Clansman?
There's one teacher that was teaching at Riverdale.
Yeah. Well, the Tartan Clansman, one of the fathers of one of the boys in my class was in the Tartan Clansman, and they used to play regularly.
He was their lead singer.
Ah.
Yeah. They were wonderful. And I was the organiser of a concert in the school hall, and the Tartan Clansmen came along and wowed the crowd.
Wow, okay, and so there were girls, a band?
Girls in the school who learnt to do dancing, and they did a few dances.
Right.
But it was a wonderful night with the Tartan Clansmen for the school, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the Tartan Clansmen was a group?
A group, four. Well, yeah, they were Scottish. They all wore the kilt and Scottish gear and sung a lot of Scottish music, hence the term Tartan Clansmen. But they were very popular in that time, I can recall very well. I went to a school camp with Riverdale. My two kids went there.
Right.
And we had a ball.
The other thing about Riverdale, they were already into camping, so we went down to Wellington to a Salvation Army camp in the hut. And
Akatawara.
It was
Akatawara.
And then we had a day in Wellington at Parliament and all the things around there.
Yes.
It was a wonderful camp,
Yep.
Camping.
Yeah.
Akatawara camp is... my sons went there too.
Yes.
They were at Wellington, but they went there too, to that camp, popular camp.
Yeah. Yes, so, that was... I only spent 2 years at Riverdale.
Right.
And then in 1989, I moved off to the ministry.
Oh, okay.
I went for a year originally, because the person's place I took in the ministry was having a year study there, and it was called a visiting teacher. The visiting teacher was created by Dr. Beebe after World War II, and that was mainly to support our families who had returned servicemen as their fathers.
Right.
And some have been away for a long time, and some of these fathers were injured and had post-traumatic stress disorder, and things were quite difficult. And when the kids went to school, they were quite difficult to manage. So these positions, there were 75 in New Zealand, mainly in large cities. So there was one in Palmerston North, and attached to the ministry office, which had in it psychologists, educational psychologists, early intervention teachers, sort of those sort of occupations. So I was an individual, and that was quite different. The first thing that struck me was I had to manage a motor car each term from a budget from the Department of Education in Whanganui, and I had to manage my own program, and I had an office, and I didn't have a secretary. Ooh. So I had to write my own mail. But Leon, the previous person, the person I was taking the place of, he had a stamp that you put on his letter when he signed it, and it said Visiting Teacher Service. That word service meant a lot to me, because I suddenly realised that all educationalists are doing a service to the community.
Mm.
And that became my sort of mantra.
Mm.
Because I worked alone, my work involved principals and parents ringing me up saying, I got trouble. And my job was to go to the home and try and support them and find out what the problem was.
Right.
So sometimes principals and parents didn't get on, so that was trouble spot. Sometimes parents were doing their best to get their kid to school, but they couldn't.
Mm.
So there's a bit of truancy in there, and there were no truancy officers in those days. Right. And I was in an individual silo, really. I was on my own. So that was completely new from being in a school.
Yeah, definitely.
In a little community.
Mm.
That was interesting, because I learnt very quickly that if you wanted to have some success with this work, you had to form a relationship with the families and the school that you were referring.
Mm.
So I got to know principals I never knew before, although I knew them being in Palmerston North, but then surrounds, because I went to Fielding as well. And so there it was. And so I was determined to form a relationship with the family.
Right.
That I was dealing with.
Mm.
And that was an important part of what happened to me. This year was 1989, and in October 1989, David Longley was the Prime Minister of New Zealand and Minister of Education.
Oh.
And he did a big review with Mr. Pico, and they decided between them that they were going to reform New Zealand education, and out of that became Tomorrow's Schools. And that, in October, the whole education system of New Zealand changed.
Right.
The department was collapsed, and it changed to the Ministry of Education. School inspectors went, who were a big part of the education system. And so schools suddenly had a lot of power. They were given much more power than they'd ever had.
Right.
They could determine their own future and work with their communities to decide what sort of school they had.
As opposed to working with the board, a Ministry of Education board, and being told what to do?
Yeah, they were called the Education Boards. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah. So that was something that was quite different.
Mm.
At this stage, I'd like to tell you a funny story about an early case I got.
Right.
Okay. I won't mention schools, but I got this referral from a principal, and he said, I'm having trouble with this family and the boy who was 11 years old coming to school. And I don't get on with the mother. She's a... He criticised her a bit as being a modern woman.
This is back in 89. I wonder what that meant.
I rang and said, I'm coming tomorrow morning. The lady said, fine. So I got there at 8:30 and had a talk to her. And I said, where's your boy? Has he gone to school today? No, he's still in bed. I went, can I go into his bedroom? Yep. I went into his bedroom, it smelled a bit, and I observed a rat in the cage.
Oh.
He had a rat in his bedroom. And he had everything else he owned in the bedroom. And he was still half asleep. And I introduced myself, and I said, there was a bike over there. Where do you go bike riding? Oh, I like to go down to Freiburg to go around the track, the BMX track. I said, oh, that's good. Got a helmet? Yeah, got a helmet. So I grabbed them both, and I said, you've got 3 minutes to get dressed and come out to the car. We're going down to the track. I got a response.
I bet you did. You bounced out of bed.
Exactly. By the time he got out to the car, I had the BMX and the liftback car, and off we went, and we got to the track, and I said, right, off you go, show me what you can do. And he went around a couple of times, and then I had a brainwave. I looked at my watch and I said, I'm going to time you this time, and the next time I'm going to do it, and I bet I can beat you. And he laughed. Off he went. It took him 3 minutes 44, and then it was my turn. Got the helmet on, got on the bike, and then I realised I hadn't ridden a bike for 25 years. Well, the first hump down, when you pick up speed, you go down a steep incline, I fell off. And I had a bit of a nasty accident because the handlebar hit my private part.
Ooh. Ouch.
I lay on the ground in agony, and I looked up over my head, and there he was up the top laughing. It's a funny way to establish a relationship, isn't it? But this is what it's all about, establishing a relationship. Doesn't matter how you do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I finally got up and I said, well, you have another go and give me a break. And I finally had a go, but I couldn't beat him.
No, so. No.
And I took him home, and that was the beginning of a relationship that got him back to school.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
That's a lovely story I've kept all these years.
Yeah. Yeah. Finding what makes him tick, what his door is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so my days were like that, working by myself until October, when tomorrow's school's came about,
right.
And the Ministry of Education took over, and Special Education Services was the group formed throughout New Zealand in the offices to give service to all schools in the area.
Right.
Palmerston North was a centre of what they called central districts, and I was just lucky enough to be in the centre of where the manager was and his management team,
right.
And the district went way up to Taranaki, Whanganui, Ruapehu, Tararua, and down Horowhanua.
Wow, big area. So how many staff members were you and others?
Well, there were 50 there,
right.
At least.
Right.
And that included, for instance, speech language therapists were always based in a clinic on a site.
Right.
When I was at Awapuni, there was a clinic at Awapuni, and she did all the schools around. Mm. That was all disestablished, and all the speech language therapists working around the Palmerston North area came into the office.
Wow. Huge change.
And I became part of a team. And that was very interesting because all the visiting teachers in the central districts from New Plymouth to Levin and Denverk, we were all in silos, and suddenly we had to become a team.
Wow.
And there were two in Taranaki, one in New Plymouth, one in Hara, one in Ruapehu, Whanganui. Ruapehu was stationed by Rakuni, Whanganui, Palmerston North, Denverk, and Porowhanui.
So who did you report to?
The boss, the manager.
So who's the boss?
The boss was called the district manager.
Right.
And he had to manage all those different offices.
Right.
And all the staff.
Right.
Yeah, big
right.
job. Big job.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And surprisingly, the manager I knew from my previous life at Teachers College.
Oh.
We'd gone to Teachers College together and so played rugby. And then he said to me, well, you're in this office, you're in charge of the visiting teachers. So suddenly I had a team and I was the team leader. yeah. And he said, well, you need to get together and I'll give you permission to get together and you could stay overnight. And we are worked out with them through communication by email that... how are we going to run this? And we all decided we'd like to go to each other's patch to see how you did your work, because we were all in silos.
Yeah.
So we got little trips away, which was very nice.
Yeah.
And they were all good guys. There was one woman in the team from Whanganui. Mm. Yeah. But they were all very experienced teachers like myself. Had positions of responsibility in schools, like deputy principals or second principals, and had been principals, and so that they were all mature people. We worked very well as a team, and I think the boss was pretty pleased with us.
Yeah,
but special education didn't like us.
Why was that?
Well, you could imagine guys who had a lot of experience in teaching getting orders from Wellington that you're not doing this anymore, you're doing this.
Oh, yes, I can imagine. Yeah.
So the visiting teachers at the time, there were 75 in New Zealand, and within 3 years there were only 25.
Wow.
Because they all left and they were never replaced. And then after 3 years being a visiting teacher, I was told, no longer, if you want to stay in this organisation of special ed services, you're going to become a special education advisor working in severe behaviour, a severe behaviour team. And that's what happened. And I have forgotten that I was finally appointed permanently after 1 year because Leon, whose place I'd taken, never came back.
Mm.
He went to another job at Massey. Mm. Yeah.
So when you first started, before the Tomorrow Schools came in, there was that whole variety of why students were troubled, whether it was truancy, whether it was PTSD, whether it was learning difficulties as well. Then when it was Tomorrow Schools, was it still the same mixture of students' needs?
Because they decided in Wellington that one of the biggest problems for behaviour in New Zealand was severe behaviour.
Mm.
And they decided that we would only deal with the 8% of the New Zealand students at the top of the behaviour, because they were the children who got excluded from school.
Right.
And then there was a big problem finding where they would go, and it became a ministry problem if the principal couldn't find a new school for that excluded students.
Mm.
the principals didn't exclude, the Board of Trustees did, but it was something I didn't like, because you pushed your problem onto someone else, but there's nothing you could do about it. If the student was one of my students, I followed them to the next school, and that was good. That was okay. So the teams in special education were the Ed Sykes, the speech language therapists, the early intervention teachers, and over the 25 years they added more specialists to help students who with special needs. So
is that because they were becoming more aware of the variety of needs that students had?
There was another restructure later on. I didn't enjoy the people from Wellington, because all they, I felt they did was look for new ideas of how to make us upset. But I don't know how true that was. So the next move was, I was in the severe behaviour team, and then they decided that we would be in a geographic patch. So suddenly I was a member of the East team, which took in working over in Tararua from Ekitahuna to Northsville, then included Dannevirke and Paiatua, and half of Palmerston North City, and some country schools like Kaiwera.
Right. Let's hear about that next week. That sounds really interesting.
Okay.
This is part 3 of 5. Tune in next week for part 4. Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.